If you would, please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. Today we'll be in James chapter 1 for our scripture reading. We'll be in verses 19 through 27 as we continue in our series through the book of James. James 1:19 says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "But prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not just hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Verse 25, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his own tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit widows and orphans in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world." Thank you for being here this morning. It is a privilege to be here at Calvary Bible Church. I feel privileged to speak on both Christmas Eve and on New Year's Eve in my very first year. Those are great days to speak. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. It is such a tremendous privilege and honor to bring the Word of God here this morning. Lord, I consider it such a responsibility to present the Scriptures in a way that is clear, that is deep, and that is practical to our lives. And Lord, this morning I pray that You would speak through me. Lord, I pray that we as a congregation, when we walk into the Scriptures, Lord, that we would look in the mirror of our lives, and Lord, that we would not just let the Scripture this morning go in one ear and out the other, but Lord, I pray that it would change our lives. Lord, I pray that we would respond to the Scriptures well today. And thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I would like to talk to you or give you a bit of a reminder. Today's message is a reminder of what most of us probably already know. Don't turn off your minds, okay? Yet as many of you don't need to know, today is a special day, a unique day in the annual calendar. December 31st is a unique day for many people around the world. For many people, New Year's Eve is significant because it holds promise of change. For so many people around the world, people circle this day on their calendar as a day to begin making changes to their life. It is a day often full of hopes, full of plans, full of New Year's resolutions. Countless New Year's resolutions, countless changes many people plan on such a day. Perhaps people decide to maybe make changes to eat healthier or maybe to exercise more. So probably for the entire month of January, the Southeast Y will be packed, okay, for 1 month of the year, right? And then it goes back to normal in the month of February. Perhaps on Christmas Eve, people plan to make the changes to be better with money, to start budgeting and maybe saving more money, maybe for retirement or maybe for a new home. But oftentimes, though, people on New Year's Eve don't just seek to make small changes to their life. But oftentimes, people on New Year's Eve look at themselves in the mirror and wish to make drastic changes to their lives. People often don't just wish to make a small change, but often they look at themselves in the mirror and wish for a new you. Now, I imagine a lot of preachers on New Year's Eve morning, I imagine a lot of messages are floating all across America about how to have a new you. What changes you can make, these 8 steps that you can implement to your life to make new changes to your life and become a new person. I've heard in years past preachers say how 2018, 2015 is your year. But friends, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that December 31st is the best day to make changes. I believe many of us can make changes to our lives. We could change certain aspects of it. But maybe today is not the best day to maybe reinvent ourselves. Because as I look upon this crowd, as I look at the many people in this crowd, many of us know what we should do different. Right? Many of us know what we should do different. Many of us know the truth of the Scripture. Many of us know the truths and the commands on how to live according to the Bible. Many of us know how to read and how to apply the Scriptures. So perhaps today is not the best day to maybe talk about a new you. Maybe today is a better day to set a reminder. To set out a reminder of what we already know. But friends, listen to this. My purpose is not to just remind us of what we already know. But friends, my purpose is to remind us so that we activate our feet and change our lives out there. James actually follows a similar pattern. James actually reminds his audience, who are Jewish Christians in the dispersion outside of the nation of Israel, James reminds them of the importance of responding to the Word of God properly. So this morning, it is my hope to also convey to all of us how we should respond to the Word of God. Essentially, I'm answering the question, how should we as Christians, when we come into church, when we read the Scriptures, when we study the Scriptures, when we hear the Scriptures, when we memorize the Scriptures, what should our response be? And in today's passage, James gives us four responses. He gives us four responses that we should have every time we walk into the Scripture. And what's unique about this particular passage, not only does he give us four responses, but he also gives us three results. He gives us three results if we apply the Scriptures properly. So come with me to James chapter 1. Today we'll be looking at verses 19 through 27. And as you turn there, I see some new faces in the crowd, some familiar faces, so I think it's helpful for us to kind of do a bit of review of where we are in the book of James. So James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12, essentially James is talking about what? Trials, right? James is talking about trials. He's really discussing how to respond to trials. And we talked about five main steps to respond to trials. What were they? Number one was to consider, right? Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. So number one is to consider. Number two is to allow, right? To allow endurance to have its perfect result so that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Response number three is to ask. Let he who lacks in wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Response number four to trials is verses 9 through 11. Is do not be envious. That when we go through difficult times, let's not be envious of other people's lives. And then in verse 12, he gives us the fifth one, is to remember. Is to remember that eternity is to come. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, and James discusses then our response to trials and then our response to temptations. Temptations and lies about God, verse 13 through 18. James discusses the first lie. What is the first lie? Verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Lie number one, when we go through difficulties, when we go through trials, is that God is the one tempting us. But when we dig down just a little bit deeper, we must say, if God is the one tempting us, then therefore he is evil. But that is a lie. Lie number two is that God has changed. That God is different. That the God that we understood him as a teenager is different than the God today, which James addresses in verses 16 through 17. And then perhaps the most common lie of all when we go through difficult times is maybe God doesn't really love me anymore. Maybe God doesn't really value me. And James addresses that in verse 18. But friends, the truth is this. That God, Theos, Yahweh, El Elyon, that God, the God that we see in the Scriptures, that the God we worship this morning is what? He is sovereign. He is immutable. He is implacable. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. That the God we worship is immutable, is unchangeable, and that the God we worship is the same as He was yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. And friends, let us go a little bit further. That if God is the same, that God's love for each and every one of you, God's love, God's value of each and every person in this room is both unwavering and unquenchable, despite what our circumstances tell us. So in this week's passage, James reminds us of our proper response to God's Word. So let us look at the first of four responses found in verses 19 through 20. Come with me to verse 19. It says this, "This you know, my beloved brother, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Friends, when we hear the Scripture, when we read the Scripture, when we hear the Word of God, our first response should be to listen. Response number one is to listen. But notice something about this text. Notice something with me about the first three words here. Notice what it reveals to us about James' intention. It is an intention to remind. Look at it. It says, "This you know." So what is James implying here? James is basically implying, this you already know, but need to be reminded of again. But what's interesting about this particular word, these three words are actually only one Greek word in the original language. It's only one Greek word. It's the Greek word histē. Now what's interesting about this particular word, you're going to get a little bit of what the millennials call TMI. Okay, it's too much information this morning, so if you want to just be a little bit, go deeper a little bit with me this morning. So that is the Greek text right there. It says, histē adelphoi moi agapetoi. That first word, histē, is actually, there's actually a big debate about that one word. Scholars actually believe that there are three possible meanings for this particular word. It's actually a text-critical type issue. One meaning, basically some scholars say, is that this could be the Greek word hostē, which means so to or thus. Now, hostē is represented in the majority text, what academic circles call Gothic M. Told you it would be TMI. Okay, Gothic M, but I'm not so sure that this is the best reading. There's also some support that it should be that word, histē, which can actually mean two different things. It can actually be a Greek imperative or a Greek indicative verb. Now, if it were a Greek imperative, it would say this, know this. That's how it would say, know this. It would be a command. But here, it's a Greek indicative verb, which is how the New American Standard Bible translates it. The New American Bible Standard says, this you know. It is a reminder. What is James basically doing here? It reveals that we, that his audience already knows the truth that he is about to reveal to them. That James is giving his audience of Christians that are profoundly rooted in the Scriptures because they're Jews. Many of us can actually relate to his audience, but he is setting out a reminder of their proper response. And friends, can I prod you for just a second, friends? If people back then needed a reminder on how to respond to the Word of God correctly, then we today also need to be reminded of how to respond to the Word of God correctly. Look back at verse 19. It says, "This you know," it's that one Greek word, histē, "my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Our response, number one, what should our response be? Our first response should be to listen, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why should we be slow to anger? Look at verse 20. "For," the Greek word gar, "for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Friends, when we hear the Scripture, let us listen. Let us listen. Now that seems pretty simple, but it's very profound. Think about it. We as human beings, okay, let's just be transparent for just a second. We as human beings are bad listeners. We just are. We're bad listeners. If you don't believe me, if you're a bad listener, go ask your spouse. I bet they'll tell you. We are inherently, we are bad listeners. Because what do we do sometimes when we hear a preacher? You get a young preacher up there who's bald and a little bit gray, okay? And he talks about a passage we've already heard before. We've heard maybe 10 times. What do we typically do when we hear a passage preached that we're very familiar with? Right? We typically say, well, I've already heard this. Or we could get a little bit irritated. Let me give you an example. If a person came up here, okay, we had a microphone right here. The person came up here and started quoting to us John 3:16. What would our immediate reaction be? We would probably start quoting, right? Now, what if this person then started teaching on John 3:16? We probably would go, But instead of actually listening to the truths that are actually in the Scripture, friends, if they needed to be reminded to listen to the Scriptures, then we today need to be reminded as well. Friends, let us be quick to hear. Let us be quick to hear. Our first response should be to listen. Let us look at response 2 and 3 and verse 21. Look at verse 21 with me. It has both response 2 and 3. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. What is our second response when we hear the Scripture? It should be to put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Friends, let me put it a different way. When we hear the Word of God, when we hear it proclaimed, when we memorize it, when the Lord brings up verses to our mind that we've memorized before, we should also listen. But number two, it should cause us to rid. Response number two is to rid. It's to rid ourselves of all filthiness, of all traces, of all crumbs, of all footprints of evil and wickedness. When we look in the Scripture, it should force us to look in the mirror at our own lives and honestly confront ourselves to any issue that we have in ourselves. What's interesting is today I'm going a little bit more in the Greek this morning, so forgive me if I lose you. Hopefully not. But this morning is this Greek word to put aside. The two words right here, to put aside, is actually one Greek word in the original language. It is actually a clothing term. It is actually a clothing term. And when you combine that with the middle participle, what James is basically saying, what it tells me is for us to make a conscious, continual decision to look in the mirror at ourselves and rid ourselves, to take off sin as we would take off a jacket. Now allow me to demonstrate with you the kind of relevancy of this particular word. When you walked in here this morning and you felt the room, what did you instantly do, or most of us do? We took off our jacket because what we said was, I don't need this anymore. Why am I wearing this? And we take off our jacket because it's warm in here. We took it off, right? Well, in the same way, when we walk into the Scriptures, when we hear the Scriptures, when we read the Scriptures, when we hear it preached and taught, well, in the same way, we should look into the mirror of ourselves and realize that we no longer need sin. We no longer need the filthiness of sin. We no longer need the crumbs that we live on, that we surround ourselves with. We should literally, every time we look at the Scriptures, we should say, ask questions like this: Why am I wearing that? Every time we read the Scriptures, we should look ourselves in the mirror and say, why am I wearing that? Why am I doing that? Why am I saying that? Why am I believing that lie? Why am I not allowing endurance? Why am I not asking of God? Why am I not considering? Why am I doing that? Every time we look in the Scriptures, we must rid ourselves of all sin and filthiness. Friends, let us take off sin. Let us take off the sin and pursue the Lord all the more. So when we hear the Scripture, we should listen. Number two is we should rid. And then look at response number three again in verse 21. It says, therefore, putting aside, taking off, literally, taking off all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Response number three, when we encounter the Scriptures in any form, is to receive. Response number three is to receive. But we have kind of an issue here, correct? It's actually a very difficult interpretive issue, because really, what does the word implanted mean? Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. This word implanted, is the Greek word amphuton, and it's actually an adjective. It's actually an adjective of the word logos. So literally what it says in the original language is receive the implanted word. But we still really haven't answered the question, what does it mean to be implanted? Now, as you can probably tell from the word itself, this word implanted is actually an agricultural word. It is actually a planting term. So what is James saying? This is what I think he's saying in verse 21. He's saying this, the word of God, friends, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in the gospel, if you are a Christian and you read the Bible once, okay, you have the Scripture, you have the Word of God living inside of you. Every one of us, if we believe in the gospel, we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, every one of us have the Word of God implanted, rooted, growing in our hearts. Every one of us have that. But then we should also receive it. Over and over and over again, watering the Word of God that is already in our hearts to help it grow and help us mature in the Lord. One commentator adds, I thought this was really interesting, he says this, to receive the implanted Word means. It means both to believe and to act on the Word of God. He goes even further. He says, belief and action are essentially the same thing. That when we hear the Word of God, we must receive it, showing itself through belief and action. The gospel which has taken root in the life of a believer needs to be constantly listened to, believed, and acted upon. The gospel which has taken root in the life of a believer needs to be constantly listened to, believed, and acted upon. So when we hear the Scripture, when we come across the Scripture, we should look at ourselves in the mirror and we should listen. We should read and then we should receive. But look in verse 22. It's a really interesting verse. He says, but prove yourselves to be, what? Doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. What is the fourth response to hearing the Scripture? It should be to listen, to read, to receive, and then number four is to do. It's to do the Scripture, right? But notice what it says about the person. Notice what it says about the person who only hears, right? It says, but prove yourselves to be doers and not merely hearers who delude themselves or deceive themselves. Friends, every one of us in this room know what we should do when we hear the Scriptures. Every one of us in this room know that we should apply. Friends, listen, watch this. Everyone else know we should do the Scriptures. When it says this, when the Scripture says to love God, what should we do? We should love God. When it says to love others, what should we do? We should love others. When it says to make disciples, we should make disciples. When it says to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, what should we do? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. When it says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as Jesus in Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 5:31. When it says these things, what should we do? We should be kind. We should forgive. Just like Jesus forgave us. When we hear the Scripture, we should act as if to do the Scripture and not be hearers who are deluding themselves. When we encounter the Scripture, friends, it should cause action. The people who only hear the Word of God delude, or more literally, deceive themselves. Why? Why do people who only hear and not do deceive themselves? Because what? Think about it, friends. People who only hear the Scripture and not do, think about it. They think, if we only hear, we think, we're godly. We think we're godly. If we hear the Scriptures, we oftentimes delude ourselves to our own godliness. Because we hear it all the time. We hear it in Bible studies. We have daily devotions. We memorize it, right? We meditate on it. We say, I hear the Word of God, but therefore I must be godly. But friends, godliness is not. We do not become godly by osmosis. We do not become godly by osmosis, by bringing it into our minds. Godliness only comes from both hearing and doing the Scripture. Godliness comes from both hearing and doing the Scripture, friends. Let us not deceive ourselves, but let us put it into practice. What I love about this passage also, in verse 23 through 25, he gives us an illustration. Now there's a lot of theological discussion on this illustration. A lot of it out there. But this morning, I really just kind of want to give a particular interpretation for it. But look at verse 23. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So not only does a hearer delude themselves, but how does it describe a hearer here in verse 23? It is like a man who looks in the mirror. It is like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the mirror here? What is the mirror here? I believe that the mirror here is the Word of God. So what is this saying? A hearer is a person who looks, who comes into the Scripture, who walks into the text, who hears it teach, and they look at themselves. They look at themselves in the mirror of the Bible, and they look at all their imperfections. They look at their wrinkles, okay? They look at all the issues of their spiritual soul, and then they walk away completely, totally unchanged, and completely forgotten all of their imperfections and all of their issues they need to change. That is a person who only hears the Scripture. A person who only hears the Scripture, looks at themselves in the Scriptures, and then walks out completely unchanged and completely forgets how they were. But look what it says about the person. Look at the contrast. We actually have two reactions. Look at verse 25. It says this. "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." So we can have two reactions, right, when we hear the Scriptures. We can either look at ourselves in the mirror and walk away the same, or we can look at intently. We can look intently and with the purpose of abiding by it. So when we hear the Scripture, when we hear the Bible, we should, number one, we should listen. We should turn up the volume, right? It should be automatic. Should turn up the volume, listen, read. Number three is to receive, and then number four is to do. Number four is to do. But what's interesting, like I mentioned in this passage, one of the things I love about this passage is that James then gives us the results. He gives us the results. He gives us four instructions, and then he gives us three results or outcomes of someone who practices the Scripture accurately. Look at verse 26. It says this, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So we have four responses in verse 19 to 25. What is the first of the results? If we apply the Scriptures, what should be the outcome? The outcome number one, the result is to control. Is to control our tongue. Look at verse 26. "If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his own tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." The first sign of a person who responds to the Word of God accurately is a person who controls their tongue. Now, friends, I imagine every one of us in this room probably have not controlled our tongues at particular times, and you know that I'm included in there. And many of us in this room have probably known Christians. We've known really good people that simply just cannot control their tongue. tell you a quick story. I was in Dallas, Texas when I went to seminary there. I worked in a church called Fellowship Bible Church Dallas. And I worked with the inner city students. Quite an adventure. I learned a lot about life, I'm telling you. it was actually a really fruitful ministry for 2 years. But when I left Dallas to come back to Huntsville, I left that particular ministry. And the person, there was this particular person, I'm not going to say his name just in case he's watching on the internet. But this particular person and I partnered together for a year or two. We partnered together for a year or two, and then when I left to come to Huntsville, Alabama, when I came back home, he took over the ministry. But this person could not control his tongue. What he did was, he actually got so frustrated. He got so frustrated at the ministry that he began to just lash out at the kids and at the leaders. He began to just yell at them and just confronting them right and left. Well, guess what ended up happening to that ministry? He called me about 6 months after I came back to Huntsville. He said, "Sorry, Byron, I destroyed your legacy." Which I didn't. That's not my legacy. But guess what happened to his ministry? It completely and totally imploded. Because this man could not control his tongue. He got impatient. He forgot to apply the scriptures to his life. And he began to lash out on all those around him. Friends, when we respond to the scripture correctly, we must control our tongue. But look at the second result in verse 27. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." What is the second result? To visit. The second result is to visit the lowly, right? I think that this verse can be taken both literally and figuratively. That literally we should visit widows and orphans in their distress, number one. And I think it's also talking figuratively. That we should, in this particular culture, widows and orphans were the lowest of society. They were lowly of society. I think James was saying, yes, literally visit widows and orphans in their distress, but also be willing to serve, to visit, to love on the lowly of society. But if you think about it, the person that applied the scriptures the best was Jesus. And how did he live? He visited the lowly, right? He visited the despicable of society. You did not see a distinction in his love whatsoever. He visited the Samaritan woman when his own disciples were wondering what he was doing. Jesus hung out with tax collectors, which were the most despicable and most lowly of society. Jesus hung out with adulterers. He visited the widows and orphans in their distress. He applied the scripture. And friends, if we want to obey the scriptures, we must also be willing to love on the lowly of society. But notice the third result also. Look at verse 27. It says, to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to what? Keep oneself unstained by the world. Result number three, if we apply the scriptures correctly, is to sanitize. Is to sanitize. The third result of properly responding is internal purity. Internal cleanliness. The result of reading, hearing the scripture is that we are concerned for our internal world, the world that no one else sees. I believe that this particular, James is talking about our internal world, the world that no one else sees but you and God. That if we want to apply the scriptures correctly, we must be concerned for the darkest corners of our heart and of our soul and of our mind, to keep oneself unstained by the world. Friends, when we enter the scripture, we should notice areas of our life. We should look at the filthiness of our lives and look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, why am I wearing that? Why am I doing that? Why am I losing my temper? Constantly, we should keep ourselves unstained, sanitized from the world. Yet friends, my fear this morning is that this sermon only serves as a reminder. My fear this morning is that this sermon is only a reminder. James' intention is to remind, but I don't believe it's just to remind, but it's also to instruct them to do. So any preacher should be concerned for application. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you're looking at the four responses, and then you're looking at the three results, and you're saying, okay, Bart, how do I apply this particular passage to my life? So this morning, I would like to answer the question, so what? How do I apply the Scriptures to my life? So in an effort to apply it, what I did was I took the four responses and I broke them out into a little bit more simple, more applicable terms. So response number one is to listen. Response number one is to listen. So what are some practical ways that we can listen to the Word of God? Practical step number one is to block out distractions. To block out distractions, right? So when we enter the text, when we come here to hear the Word of God, when we hear it in Sunday school, when we read it, when we have our personal devotion, what should we do? If we really want to listen, what must we do? We must block out distractions. Let us put our phones away. Let us put our agendas away. Let us put our stress and our anxiety away of all the things we need to do that day. And let us sincerely block out distractions and begin to listen to what the Lord has for us in the Word of God. So in order to listen, we must block out distractions. And then number two, we must put aside our ego. To put aside our ego. Many times I've found in my personal life that when I have read a passage many times, when I've read the Psalms 100 times, sometimes I kind of have to tell myself, oh, I've already heard this. And instead, what we should say is, Lord, I've read this passage 100 times. I'm going to set myself, my ego aside, and Lord, I pray that you would speak to me through this passage that I've heard from this preacher preach on Ephesians chapter 2 1,000 times in my life. And Lord, I just want to hear. I just want to hear what you have for my life. So we should block out distractions, put aside our egos. Response number two is to rid ourselves of all filthiness and sin. Any trace of ungodliness. But in order to rid ourselves, in order to take off the sin that we have, what must we do? We must recognize the sin that is in our life. We must be willing to take a microscope. We must be willing to take a magnifying glass and put it onto our heart and recognize the sins that we struggle with so many times. We are blind to the sins and the struggles that we have. But friends, the Word of God is our instruction manual. It is our instruction manual. That should be the place that we get instruction on how to change our lives. So we must recognize the sin that is in our lives. And then number two, to rid, we must take off sin with repentance. We must take off sin with repentance. James, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful. And He is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must take off sin with repentance. Response number three is to receive. It's to receive. Well, really, what James was mentioning is that we should recognize that the Word of God is already inside of us and is wishing to change our lives and wishing to help us grow to maturity and fruitfulness. But number two, we should receive the Word continually with humility. With humility, not saying I already know this or I already heard this, but with humility. And then response number four is to do. Is to do. Friends, let us remember what the scholar said. Belief is action. If you truly believe what it says, then we will do what it says out there. Friends, if we believe what it says in here, if we believe what it says in here, if we really believe this, what will we do? We will do it out there. If we believe it here, we will do it out there. Friends, my hope this morning is to remind us of what we already know, but also to help us put it into practice. When we encounter the Word of God, let us listen. Let us rid ourselves of anything that slows us down. Let us receive and let us do, resulting in controlling our tongue, visiting the lowly, and sanitizing our inner world. As I close this morning, I would like to close with a thought. I would like to close with a thought. It actually comes from a very prominent 19th century Christian, very famous. He says this: I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of God's Word and to the meditation on it. What is the food of the inner man? He says, not prayer, but the Word of God. Not simply the reading of the Word so that it only passes through our mind as water runs through a pipe. But considering what we read, we must ponder over it and then apply it to our hearts. That is George Mueller. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for these friends and family. I thank You for just the treat of special guests here this morning. Lord, it's such a privilege to preach Your Word. Lord, I pray that we, on a continual basis, Lord, that we would look at ourselves in the mirror. Lord, we would look at the areas that we need to improve, and Lord, that we would be obedient to Your Scripture. Lord, I pray that we would be doers. Lord, I pray that we would respond well to trials. We would respond well to temptation. And Lord, that we would respond well to the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we would be Christians that are known in this community by our love for one another. Lord, that we would be Christians known in this community, not for our knowledge of the Word, but our knowledge and our belief in action for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You for these friends. Lord, I pray that You would just be with us this morning, be with us as we brave the cold outside. And Lord, I just pray that You would just give us safety as we celebrate the new year. And I thank You for them and this lovely family and congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.